Some people have said imagination rules the world. I just heard of an interesting irony in history. There was a young man who worked at a newspaper who was fired because he supposedly lacked imagination. That young man was Walt Disney. The founding fathers of America imagined independence from Great Britain while clinging to their God-given rights. But today, there is too often a lack of imagination to be found in our educational system. Children start out having a great imagination, and unfortunately, it gets stifled and beaten down, and they become conformists. In fact, author Chad Stewart, the creator of the Britfield series of adventure novels, notes that since the 1990s, schools have too often, one, killed curiosities of children, two, narrowed visions and minds, three, lowered expectations, and killed deep thoughts and imagination. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Chad Stewart, the creator of the Britfield and Lost Crown series, and joins us right now to talk about creativity and imagination. Chad, thank you so much for joining us again.
You're welcome. I loved the introduction. That was really wonderful and inspiring.
Okay. All right. Well, the founding fathers had a lot of imagination, and we're not going to dwell on them and focus on them, but I want you to start with a comment about them, and then we'll launch into your whole series of books and why you think children need to have a greater imagination, and that imagination needs to be encouraged today.
Absolutely. And I'm a big revolution and 1777 and the founding fathers. I'm a big fan. I'm really a historian. I was a double major, British literature and European history. And I have been studying them again. I've just had so much fun. But I went through about an 800 page biography on George Washington and really getting into the deep roots of it. I just finished Thomas Jefferson, and I received your book, Doubting Thomas, this weekend. So I'm very excited. So I'll digging back in to hear about that. And then read about Alexander Hamilton. Just all of them is so fascinating. There's such diverse characters. It's very different night and day. And it's amazing how they all came together and created really the United States or America. And it's a blessing. It's amazing. The Constitution was amazing. And it was a huge effort. Just as the Revolutionary War was. And I just actually read another book about 3 weeks ago of a gentleman. He was a historian, and he went around. He was doing a book on the Revolution, and he went around to every single, physically went around to every single place, starting all the way up with Quebec to all the spots that the Revolution took place, get that sort of, you know, deep feeling of what it was like, the battles were like. He was talking with the experts that ran the tours, and it was quite fascinating, obviously ending up in Yorktown. And it was just fun to kind of revisit that. And it's just amazing. It's just hard to wrap your head around it. I mean, when we took them on, we basically had shovels and pitchforks. I mean, we were taking on the largest, most powerful, most successful military in history, but God was on our side.
Wow, that's fantastic. By the way, what was the name of that book about where the guy went to all the different battlefields?
I don't recall it offhand. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Did you name of the author?
It's recent. Yeah, no.
Okay,
no.
That's an offline discussion. Sorry about that. Okay, you maintain that in today's schools, unfortunately, imagination and curiosity are not encouraged, but instead there's more of a, you know, groupthink or, you know, conformity. You know, you must think this way. I mean, we can see this even in some of the controversies of today, like, for example, related to the transgender agenda and controversial things like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, all that stuff is just nonsense and unnatural. And it's just a hardcore left liberal push to, frankly, destroy America, destroy the fabric of America, destroy society, divide the family, get us fighting against one another and not in unity and being proud Americans. And it started, the education system is a great place for the enemy, if you will, to start. And he started it with the very foundation of it, built on an industrial model from the 1800s. It's never really changed from there. Now, there's a lot of great schools and educationals that came out of that, such as the homeschooling, going from 5 million to over 15 million in the last 3 years and growing. There's the charter system. Our charter school system, which is sort of a hybrid model, and a lot of the homeschool people are involved in that. But no, it really started in the 50s and then escalated in the 80s. There's a great book out there that was written called the the deliberate dumbing down the American population and education system. I'm kind of paraphrasing it. And it was a woman that was worked with the Reagan administration, and she was behind the scenes. I think she was a director of education or something to that extent. And so she pulled the curtain, dug behind the scenes and said, all these systems aren't working. And in fact, it's making children worse. And I've always been a big proponent of creativity, to say the very least. And creativity is at the fiber and foundation of everything that we do. I was fortunate because I grew up in Newport Beach, California, had a great elementary school, had a great elementary school experience. I had wonderful fifth and sixth grade teachers, specifically a sixth grade teacher. And she opened up her class. And yes, we were some of the memorization, the spelling, and a little bit of the mathematics. But she was very creative, and I'll never forget her. And here I am, gosh, I don't know what, 40 years later, still remembering her. And as I'm talking about it, I literally have a visual of the classroom. And it was some of the things that she allowed us to do, some of the groups that we were able to get into. We built our own little gardens out in front or out in back. We built our own little forts. She gave us a writing assignment that was worth 40% of our grade to write a book. It could be about anything that we wanted to, and it could have pictures in it. And I always found that to be the very first, you know, book or novel that I wrote. It was only 25 pages, called James Bond, Eat Your Heart Out. But that's what launched me, and that's what launched the career. And having those moments, having that exposure to creativity. See, kids don't know what they can do until they're challenged to do it. And everyone's born creative. Now, the school system's not going to let you think that. And memorization to them is the most important thing in the world. And studying for the tests that test nothing, tests that don't test your intelligence, don't test your creativity, tests that are irrelevant. So many of the major colleges now are just getting rid of them because, lo and behold, they're realizing that they're missing phenomenal candidates, entrepreneurs, geniuses, because they don't fit into their little box, you know, of taking tests. And, you know, there's a lot of different approaches to problems and problem solvings. And so it's not just mathematics, 1 + 1 = 2. You know, there's a lot of different ways that you can do something, a lot of different ways to approach. We are in a creativity crisis that started in the 1990s and is at the apex crescendo right now in the United States, where creativity scores, like you've said, have been going down for over 25, 30 years, every single year. And as you said, kids are less inquisitive. They're less creative. They're less energetic, they're less humorous, less imaginative, less talkative, less uncontroversial, less lively and passionate, less perceptive, and have less humor. How horrible is that? Because that's the very foundation of life and living. And so what Britfield Lost Crown series, the 7-book series, and what the Britfield Institute is trying to do is put creativity back in the classroom, inspire children. We believe in individuality. We believe in the spirit of entrepreneurship and communication and collaboration. It's called the 4 C's.
That's interesting. And by the way, let me just give 2 quick anecdotes related to this whole topic. Okay, number one, my wife, who's from Norway, when she was new to the country and she came to graduate school and we met and married about 2 years later in her home church in Norway and so forth. But bottom line is we were driving to Chicago one day, and this is maybe 2 or 3 months that she had been in the country, the U.S., she sees this large building on the side of the road in Chicago itself, and she said, "What is that? A factory?" And I said, "Oh, no, that's a public school." that's anecdote number one. Anecdote number two, my dad grew up as a poor farm boy and made good. He went to a one-room schoolhouse. He got a better education in that one-room schoolhouse, you know, in Faribault, Minnesota, which has long been torn down. Then probably 99% of children today getting an education in America. And I mean that.
Oh, yeah. We might not have time, but even, you know, all the way up to college and they're graduating at 22, which is utterly ridiculous, with a $250,000 debt, more than likely, with nothing. I mean, with a piece of paper, they don't know anything. And I say this because I've talked to so many people in all types of industries, you name it. And I've connected with them and, you know, trying to hire some of these people to do the most simple things, and they don't know how to do it. They can't think for themselves. They don't have that sort of sense of gumption, if you will, that sense of leadership, that sense of independence, that risk taking, that entrepreneurship, that brainstorming, the communication, the collaboration. They don't know how to ask questions. They don't know how to deep dive. They don't know how to research. All these types of things that children should be learning, you know, from 8, 9, 10, 11 and 12. And a lot of this is what's being taught with homeschoolers. You know, by the time a homeschooler's, is 16 or 17. I mean, they don't even need college. And a lot of them do, of course, go to college. But a lot of them are taking pre-college classes by 16 because they've already accelerated through all the different subjects. And arts is a huge component of it. And I cannot overemphasize the importance of the arts. And what was the first thing to get cut from the system? The arts, you know, music. What's wrong with music? I remember, I think it was fourth or fifth grade, and it was wonderful. And we would take music all year through. It's like an hour, you know, we come into the little music class, or we come to the auditorium and we learn to play different instruments. I learned to play a violin. I learned to play a flute. I learned to play a trumpet, which I ended up playing for like years. You name it. And we tried it, you know, like maybe it was over a week or 2 weeks or something like that, but just that introduction. And it's not to say that if you introduce music to a child that they're going to be a famous musician. That's not the point. But they know what they like and they know what they don't like. They know what sticks. And by giving kids so many of those opportunities, like the building blocks or the Legos when you grow up, guess what? You know, I had building blocks and Legos when I was growing up. And since I was 16 years old, I started getting into architecture, and I put myself through Brown University designing and building homes in New England. You know, and that came from my blocks, my Legos, and building a fort next door in our neighbor's yard. So it's just all that tangible, hands-on, creative opportunities. And you, as a child, you cannot give a child enough opportunities because you never know what's going to impact them, and you never know what's going to influence them. And I'm talking going to the park and playing, going down to the beach, walking the tide pools, going to a museum and asking questions. You don't go to a museum for 4 or 5 hours. You go for an hour. And then you go into one room and you look at some of the paintings and you ask them, what do you think? What do you like? Why do you like it? And you get them thinking for themselves, and you give this wonderful exposure of this world of art and creativity. And it's just amazing. So,
you know, I find this very encouraging because one of the greatest parts of my life right now, especially in the last few years, is I'm a grandfather, and so I take out my grandchildren to all kinds of whatever places I can nearby, and including this museum, and they love it, and there's a lot of, you know, exploring that they can do. So I guess in effect I'm trying to, you know, do all those things that you're talking about.
Yeah, we're I'm in San Diego, California, Southern California, and we have Balboa Park, and it is quite wonderful. It's beautiful, open space, and they have different museums. They have a museum of fine arts, but they also have the Space Museum, and so you can walk in there and see all the different, you know, ships and items, and then they have a history museum, and it's like, my goodness, it's like and then there's many of those out there in New York and Boston. They have all that, and it's like, just once a month, you know, take your kids out there, maybe afterwards you go get a sandwich or something fun or something like that. But just do that. You have to do that. It doesn't have to be expensive. Education doesn't have to be expensive. You don't need private tutors, although I had them, and you don't need a private school, you know, although I had a lot of that. You know, there's just so many great opportunities out there. It's just spending time with you. It's getting outside, getting out of the house, thinking, get them off those games, get them off that phone. I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. So,
So the phone and social media and video games and things like that could actually, instead of stimulating creativity, diminish it. We have about 40 seconds left. Feel free to talk about your series as well. But that is an interesting comment about the you know, cell phones, smartphones.
We should come back and talk about that. They were all designed not to elevate and to streamline, but to destroy and to form a society that can't think for themselves. None of them were designed for effectiveness. But no, Britfield and Lost Crown is a great 7-book series. Book 1 takes place in England. Book 2 takes place in France. Book 3 takes place in Italy. I'm halfway done with book 4. Britfield and the Eastern Empire takes place in Eastern Europe and Russia. And the series goes to Asia, South America, and finally United States. As in each book, the characters, Tom and Sarah, grow by 1 year. So in book 1, they're 12. In book 2, they're 13. Yeah.
We're basically out of time, but I would like to talk with you further. Britfield.com. Thank you so much, Chad. All the best.
Thank you.